Radio Doomsday Live. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. My special guest tonight is an expert, one of the world's leading authorities on Planet X. His name is Dr. Jason Rand. We're going to get with Dr. Rand for an extensive interview and an update on his book, The Return of Planet X and its effect on Mother Earth, just in a few minutes. First, I'd like to give out the show number. You can call this number toll-free, 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Before we get into the sun, I wanted to mention a few items in the news. Just last night and yesterday, ironically, at the time of the celebration of July 4th, there were fireworks, in a sense, coming from the sun. From the beginning, I've warned about the situation on the sun, and specifically that we're engaged in a solar maximum period, which comes around every 11 years or so, and that's hitting right now and will continue to hit into 2013. Yes, it will be a 2013. I never said that the world is going to end, and I want to make this very clear because I've been misquoted a number of times. Every single show I point out that I do not believe anything of a physical nature particularly is going to happen on December 21st, the last day of the Mayan calendar this year, but rather I think that we're in for some great surprises, and hopefully they'll be wonderful in nature. But on the other hand, speaking of Mother Nature, which Jason does in his book, we have real problems regarding the sun. There are explosions on the sun. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that these solar flares or super flares, superstorms at this point, are coming right toward Earth. There were some that were that happened just yesterday and perhaps even into today. They can be very devastating in a worst-case scenario. Now, in Europe, there have been temporary interruptions of radio broadcasts like this one and others. So it's a real, real problem potentially, because the power grid in a worst case scenario could go down, and then we're all plunged back literally into the dark ages with everything that that means. The Class M flares that were emitted are not the worst kind. The strongest are the Class X. Nonetheless, they can be as powerful as 1 billion atomic bombs, if we can imagine that. It's very hard to imagine. Also, I wanted to make note of the official theme song for the London Olympics this year, 2012 London Olympics. It's called Survival, and it's by a British group, a very popular group by the name of Muse. So I thought you'd be interested in hearing that. And, of course, quite a number of celebrities have climbed on the bandwagon, if it is a bandwagon, regarding the 2012 phenomenon. Now, let me give out our number once again, toll-free in the United States and Canada. It's 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. I'd like to introduce my guest, Dr. Jason Rand, and the subject is Planet X. Feel free to call up if you have any questions regarding Planet X and where it might be now, and that's my opening question for you, Dr. Rand. Is Planet X on Earth's doorstep?
Well, that's a polite way of saying we sure are not looking good, Doc. Okay? Michael, before we really get started, I want to thank you for being kind of a pioneer in getting the word out, okay? You and I go back, what, about 3, 4, 5, 6 years now about this book, right?
Yes.
All right. We find ourselves talking about the absolute awful destiny of a planet being ravaged by storms and problems. Let's just talk about the United States, our beloved United States.
Okay.
We're so used to having bad news and storms in the weather. I'm just going to go back. Okay, let's. We've only got an hour, right? So I got to really move on this, correct? We only got an hour?
Correct.
All right. I'm just going to keep rolling. You stop me. I just need to get this story
Go
out.
ahead.
All right. Let's just look back in the last 72 hours. We're being ravaged by storms and hurricanes, force straight line winds, and forest fires that have been out of control now for weeks and weeks and weeks. Things are just getting nastier and stickier, and it's just not a good time we're going into 2012. I mean, this
right.
December 21st thing. See, once again, just like you said, no, there's not going to be, we're not going to see the movie 2012 played out. I don't ascribe to that.
Not going to be that bad, okay.
No. Now, that doesn't mean to say we might not have a series of global earthquakes that could take out one of the major cities. Okay, that's all. That's as far as I'm going to go in predicting the 2012 disaster. We'll probably have some major earthquakes, and I think we'll probably lose a couple of cities. Hopefully none in the United States. You follow me? All right, if we just lose two major world cities, if we lose just two, you don't think that that would stop the world spinning for just a second? Because that would plunge the economies of those regions and those districts and those cities into ruin.
Okay.
Once a major earth, you know, if you have a 9 that tears Los Angeles to pieces, there's no way to put Los Angeles back together, do you understand? You could never replace the sewer systems and the subways and all of the infrastructure of a Los Angeles, including its freeway system. One fell stroke, in 20 seconds, you can reduce Los Angeles to rubble. It's true. It could happen. And if it did, they'd trigger martial law. Everything would freeze to an absolute screaming halt. They nationalize just about everything, and they probably have to do it. See, I'm not an anti-martial law advocate, but that exact law does exist. It's sitting in the president's desk, and it so states that any sitting president at any time for any good reason can sign it. It's already a law. Anyone, including Obama, could sign it. And that would stop the election. That would possibly stop the election in November if there was going to be a disaster like this. So nothing's out of the realm of being possible, you see?
Now, I know the Russians are very concerned about the Planet X and that they have been embarked on a crash building project for shelters. I know that there's something that Marina Popovich, your friend, who's the most famous woman pilot in Russia, and was married to a cosmonaut, a very well-known cosmonaut,
Pavel.
She's been concerned about Planet X.
Right. Yes. They're very knowledgeable there. I hate to be critical of our scientific viewpoint on things like the paranormal and flying saucers and ETs and all that George Orwell stuff, remember? However, it all somehow in reality over the centuries has played itself out to be absolutely all true. Almost every piece of science fiction that's ever been written. See, this is what people don't understand. We're catching up with our own reality system. And that's what getting to this thing in 2012 is all about. That date, that December 21st, 2012, that's a very common date. They're making such a big deal out of it, but it does exist in almost every culture. And within every religion, there's a reference to that particular date. I know it's all... There are books on it. You don't have to take my word. Check out the internet. You'd be flabbergasted what you're going to find on that and things like Planet X and NASA. And by the way, if we're wrong about all of this, hallelujah.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. I'm right there with those that say, let's hope none of it happens. And how about this way? And if it does happen, it doesn't happen to anyone here in North America.
Now, Jason, let me ask you about photographic evidence of Planet X. Are any of these photos that are out there on the internet, are they any ones that you think might be legitimate?
Oh, yeah. There's also the phonies. By the way, they're deliberately implanted most times. You know that most UFO sightings... I'm gonna cover 2 points. Most UFO sightings today are still taken. In fact, MUFON is very active. The problem is nobody gives a hoot. At least they don't pretend like they do, you see. Now, UFO sightings, incidentally, which is your specialty, correct? As a researcher, Michael?
Yeah, now Marina Popovich had seen, she made a lot of news. This is at the time when the Soviet Union was falling apart. She announced and showed some an amazing photograph of a 14-mile-long spacecraft that was photographed by the Russian Phobos 2 probe when it was sent up there. And some of these probes have disappeared.
Yes. Yeah, they've had a real unfortunate series of events. They've lost at least 4 to 6 probes. I think they're reporting they've lost 3. So something out there, whatever it is, some ever force, whatever it is, either makes them disappear or simply disables them and we can't see them. See, we're still like arguing publicly about whether there are or aren't flying saucers and whether ETs are real or not. We have absolutely got to get beyond ourselves in understanding that we're far from being the only sentient beings out there.
Jason, do you think that we're going to have contact with the Anunnaki, the beings from Planet X? You know, do you think that they'll be landing anytime, you know, relatively soon?
Okay, well, first of all, you've mixed 3 different subjects involving Planet X. First of all, they're not on Planet X. Planet X is not a planet. It is a brown dwarf star.
That's right.
That's the first piece to unravel. There's nothing living on Planet X. It's, by the way, it is a brown dwarf star, and I'll tell you where it came from. I think I should cover that next, because I am watching my watch. But this mythical thing, and it goes back to Zechariah Sitchin's 12th planet thesis, is that there is a 12th planet out there, and I do believe there is one, but it's not the brown dwarf star because it's obviously too hot.
Okay, I'm going to give out the phone number again for Radio Doomsday Live. The number, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Jason, what are your plans for December 21st of this year?
Well, I'm going to be sitting right here, if you want.
In Mississippi,
I'd be happy to do a show that night with you if you're interested.
Okay.
Because I think that if you believe that you, as a person, as a being, as a human intellect, think you're at the right place doing the right thing, then you will probably, by at least 50-50 odds, you're going to be just fine, Michael. Even New York. Probably just fine. Okay.
Okay. You were interviewed.
I'm going to stay right where I'm at. To answer your question, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing because I like what I'm doing and it's important what I'm doing. It's important for me to be on your show tonight. It's important for you as the host to allow people like myself to appear and say to you, you know, we really got to start thinking about things. We got this big election coming up. This isn't just about Planet X, which is a brown dwarf star, which used to be part of our solar system. Let me do a quick 5-minute dash into what Planet X is and what Planet X isn't.
All right.
Number one, The term Planet X was not created by a writer or a theorist like myself. The term Planet X was coined by none other than U.S. NASA officials when there was a huge press release and a huge announcement that their IRIS, their multi-billion dollar newly launched IRIS satellite that had infrared technology, had detected a huge, large, tumbling, rolling piece of what looked like absolute, like a small star coming at us. And it was really hard to see because it didn't give up much light. It wasn't an active star. It's a brown dwarf. It's a star that's blown its capacity to fusion and now is just remains as a burning hulk, you see. And this so-called object was actually what I believe was the little baby sun that was part of our solar system. So I'm going to plunge back now. Okay, here begins the ride, so buckle up, okay? Let's jump back in time from tonight, 4.5 to 5 billion years back in time, when there were probably and most likely and scientifically one day provable that there were 12 original planets that were designed to be part of this solar system. You see, you have to say to yourself, what kind of a computer program would you have to initiate or brainchild to assemble to be able to create even this, what's left of the solar system as we know it today? What computer programmer or program keeps that whole dynamic with the sun and the planets and the rotation and the angles and the different gravities and what each planet is made of and how it interacts with the others? And why is the Earth, the third rock from the sun, why is it that for some weird, strange reason, we exist in a very special orbit around this fusion star, which we call Sol. It's our sun.
Yeah.
Now, I believe...
Let me ask you
yes.
something else. You were interviewed by Shirley MacLaine, I guess it was a couple, two or three years ago now, yes. And she expressed some concerns, I believe, about Planet X. I just wondered... What do you recall from that conversation with Shirley?
Well, as you know, she's a UFO ET a proponent. I mean, she's known, her views are widely accepted, and she's loved for it. So she asked me specifically how I thought that the ETs might be involved in this 2012 scenario. So that's what we spoke about. I mentioned to her that I felt that there were legions of people on this planet who are really serving a good, humane cause. And if there is a compassionate Lord, and I do believe there is, and if there is anything remotely called an event like the Christian rapture alludes to, but of course, more than four times in the New Testament, Jesus himself said that he would be back. He would be back to collect his flock. He would not leave them abandoned here. So if that's the case, and you are living to the best of your ability, a Christian-oriented, you know, nobody's perfect life, well, then I think that I would be evacuated. I would be taken to a place of safety because my work is still yet unfinished, you see? So I think I'm going to be just fine. And I think you have to put yourself in that. Now, I could be wrong because, as you know, I'm about 30 miles south of the Mississippi River where it's probably a mile to a mile and a half wide where it would pass by the parallel that I'm on, you see? And that's 30 miles away and I'm 400 feet. Now,
all right. The number
one scenario is about the Great Lakes.
The Radio Doomsday Live phone number, call in, is 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Jason, something that you probably don't know is that a good friend of mine by the name of Antonio Tineas, who's the editor of Open Minds, one of the editors of Open Minds magazine, introduced Shirley MacLaine at her request some years ago to Zechariah Sitchin while he was still alive. And she was very interested in all of this stuff relating to the legend of Planet X. And she had one big question, her main question for Sitchin, which Sitchin refused to go on the record about, but obviously was very much on Shirley MacLaine's mind, was this: was Jesus Christ an extraterrestrial? What do you think?
Whoa. Well, that has always... Okay, I guess I have to go on the record. Yes, I do believe he was of extraterrestrial birth. All the signs written about in the New Testament about how it all happened totally makes sense. It does. It can be traced biblically and archaeologically.
The Vatican has been extremely forthcoming recently, in recent years, on the subject of extraterrestrials, even going to the point the Pope's astronomer, the Vatican's official astronomer, coming out with an official statement saying that extraterrestrials are our brothers. So the church has begun to open up, and I know that Sitchin, while he was alive, had ongoing dialogue with Father Balducci of the Vatican about their common, essentially their common beliefs in these matters. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I sure do. You know, there are so many people thinking that the Vatican is, the seat and the heart of most of the evil in religion. I kind of have a little different take on that. Me, they're guilty of... Let me make this one point. To me, they are guilty of certain things that everybody already knows about that still are being addressed. But the point of the matter is, I think when push comes to shove, I think that the Vatican will be on Christ Jesus' side. I do think that they will be immediately accepted back. That's my belief.
Okay.
I don't think that the good Lord would even abandon them. No. I do believe that will be fine. Okay? I don't see this as evil.
Jason,
okay?
How has your book been received? It's been out now for a number of years.
I put it out in April of 2007, and I'm very grateful. I've gone through my third printing.
You're on a third printing already. Okay.
Yeah, and I only have about, I have probably around 1,200 books left in stock. So, if you'd like to get a book, can I leave them a phone number real quick?
Yeah, so anyone listening who's interested in getting a copy of the book, what's the best way of doing it?
Just take my number, and I'll speak to you personally. It's 901-336-9660. 901-336-9660. Or go to my website. I have a really great website, www.returnofplanetx.com, and there's a little hyphen between the T and the X, and you will be entertained for at least an hour hitting all the different inner sites. It's all about the book, and it's all about what I think is going to happen to us, and I hate to say it. I hate to say this on the air, but I have to give myself credit, whether I like it or not. Every single thing I predicted in the book, I am on schedule for, and if it ends the way I think it might, we better get ourselves prepared. It could be a rough road for certainly a month or two around April. About 2013.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is not going to happen. Nothing really bad's going to hit us around December 21st, 2012. That's only the alignment star figure for all of the heavenly phenomenon that's taking place way above and beyond the Earth, way above and beyond our solar system, which, in fact, is being pulled into a new relationship with the heart of the Milky Way. See, there's so many things going on at so many levels that one has to be a magician to try to figure out what's more important. Are we, our survival, the fires burning out of control, Colorado Springs, or the economy that's about to collapse, and the election that's pivotal to the survival of the country? We have to figure out a lot of things, and then we still have to deal with, could be, a potential physical disaster somewhere. And I think
why is the
they
government
could go to the
itself?
One world government. They could slip into the one world government that quickly. Just like
what
that.
Part would President Obama play in a one world government, if any?
Oh, that's a baited question. You really want an answer? I mean, okay. He'd be a great world president. They'd love him. The world would love him. He's got all the qualifications.
What about Prince William? He's been spoken about in relation to a one-world government. He's very popular. He's very well-known, very powerful, potentially. Where do you think he might fit in?
Well, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I don't get those kind of vibes. But I would say,
okay.
I would say this. He's movie star handsome and extremely expressive. He could be a monarch, I would say that. He would make a wonderful monarch, a modern-day monarch, which means superseding his father. But I don't see him playing political games. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. That's my answer.
You know,
I think he's
William,
a loyal Brit. I think he's a loyal Brit.
Prince William and his father, Prince Charles, and certainly his grandfather, Prince Philip, have all been interested, and Queen Elizabeth, actually.
In UFOs.
They've all been interested in varying degrees of UFOs and crop circles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they know all about that. Do you understand what crop circles are, or would you think? Okay, let me give you my version of crop circles.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, now these crop circles, you know, Jason, a lot of these crop circles, the ones that researchers believe are most likely to be legitimate, have symbols that are related to Planet X. This is not really being spoken about that much.
No,
its
whole orbital display was made. Let me tell you what Planet X, okay, let's call it for what it is, the brown dwarf star, okay. The New Testament, Book of Revelation, if you go to chapter 8, verse 11, names this object. I'm quoting, and the name of the star is Wormwood. Now, don't confuse this whole thing with Chernobyl and Wormwood and Russia. Forget all that. It has nothing to do with its interpretation in the book of Revelation. It says what it says. Now, if it's true, and I believe that it is, that this is this nemesis, this thing called Wormwood. You see, what I did in the book was I went back, oh, I don't know, 3.5-4 billion years of time, and I researched around to find out that somehow around 36 to every 4,000 years, ever since about 4.5 to 5 billion years ago, our solar system has been frequently on target, visited about every 36 to 4,000 years through its development by this misshapen, failed sun that was part of our solar system that was struck by a, see, there were, you okay, there were originally 12 planets already forming, somehow all coming together within 2 to 3 billion years. That in itself is beyond anyone's computation. How did that happen? The thing is that there were three suns designed. The sun we have, Sol, the little baby sun, which eventually became Wormwood, and there's the giant blue-black monster sun about 2.5 billion miles away from us. That's very hard to detect because it gives off hardly no illumination, and yet it's red hot inside. Okay, that object controls our sun and all of the rest of the solar system. It's the controller for our sun. What happens on the controller that affects the sun affects us. And if this little baby star should somehow get involved with all of what's going on with the giant blue-black star to our sun, it causes our sun great confusion, because now there are extraterrestrial...
I've met some of the Mayan elders about a year ago, year and a half ago here in New York. Mm-hmm. Got to know some of them, and I suspected that there was something that they weren't saying that was really important. And what that something is that even though the Mayan calendar, that end date, it doesn't mean the end of the world, but they do, and they're not saying that that date it means anything of a physical nature, but they are saying that in this general time period, approximately every 3,600 years when that planet comes around into Earth's vicinity, that there will be all kinds of havoc that could and most likely will affect the Earth, and that millions of people, frankly, just may not make it if they're not prepared, particularly the ones who aren't prepared to deal with some of these things.
Do you realize that since 1984, this planet has not been free of a major disaster every single day, every single week, every single month, for all those years? All you have to do is go look at your stats. You check the hurricanes, you check the tornadoes, you check the windstorms and the firestorms and the earthquakes and the volcanic eruptions and the magnetic disruptions. Everything is up off the scale of anything from the past. You keep hearing in the weather, well, it's the hottest it's been since records were created. Really? You really think that there's nothing really going on with the sun? Are you going to keep, how long are they going to keep denying the truth that our sun is going wacko on us? But why is it, why is it going wacko, Michael? That's the question that I wanted to give you. I can tell you why it's going. This brown dwarf star, this object that's in this long elliptical orbit, every 3,600 years, it takes 1,800 years to reach us from its midpoint after being slingshotted back out from behind the giant blue-black giant. Do you remember when Apollo 13 had its problem and they were told couldn't land, but they did have to complete the flight around the moon to be slingshotted back to Earth? Remember that?
Yes.
And they almost didn't make it because of the malfunction of the ship. They got back, thank God.
Right. Okay.
What's happening is our sun, which mysteriously was really dormant for the last 4, 5, 6 years when it should not have been dormant, has suddenly and unexpectedly kind of been reignited, as you alluded to earlier, in its 11-year solar maximum cycle. It should have peaked last year, not now. It's peaking now. That's what the heat index is all about.
As a result of the problems on the sun, they're talking right now, scientists, about a new dust bowl being created in the out west, and that they expect all kinds of crop failures and problems with animals and meat prices expected to soar. We have the problem of depletion of meat resources potentially. We have certainly problems affecting the oceans. No matter where you turn, we're we're facing incredible problems that we've never faced in our lifetime.
So don't you think maybe that the ETs might decide now's a good time to get involved? That was my answer to Shirley MacLaine.
Okay. Let me give out a number. It's 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Can you tell us anything about your contact? I know you're working on a project with Marina Popovich, the famous Russian pilot. Is there anything new to report on that?
Yes, we're presently working on the script. I have a co-scriptwriter, and we're in touch with Marina and her two daughters, and we are presently writing the script for it. It's coming along great. Project's coming
along
great.
This should be a Hollywood movie.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be a feature film. We want to do it. We want to do it in 70mm IMAX. We want to do it in 3D. We want to go all the way. It'll be an action thriller based on a true story.
Okay. All right. All right. Very good. Jason, anything else that you want to say?
Yeah. What I want to do is I want to just try to separate fact from myth. Okay? Number one, there's no need to panic about the future. It's going to be what it's going to be. Unless you have the gift of, fortune telling, you will be a victim of who you are, where you are, why you are, what you believe in, and what you don't believe in. It's that complicated. Now, to add to all that, we have the nation on the precipice of utter disaster, not only from itself, its social problems, and its politics, but from the fact that I'm praying that we get through this hurricane season without getting nailed. If we get through it, if we actually get through this hurricane season without a scratch, I will be very, very grateful, because it means that there is a hand of protection over this country. If we come through this fall, we may have fires, we're going to have our problems, but if we don't have a major earthquake and we don't have a major explosion or a terrorist attack, we're doing okay, aren't we? Huh? We're doing okay. We'll take care of our problems.
Jason,
but we're
going to
be, I think we're going to be okay.
You were a record producer, Jason. You were a record producer, and you won yourself a lot of awards, and you were also a musical performer. How did you get involved with this kind of next thing anyway?
Well, it all happened when I had my experience as a kid. At age 11, my dad had taken us out on a fly-in fishing trip to deep into the heart of Manitoba, Canada, 2.5 hours flying over nothing but beautiful forest and seaplane lanes in this island. We were supposed to go fishing all week. Well, it rained all week. So come Thursday, I woke up and I thought the day was great, and I took my dad's boat out without his permission, 7 o'clock in the morning, and what happened was I got caught in the eye of a storm. The storm came over me, just like a hurricane would. And it drove my boat all the way across the lake, and I was drowning. The boat was filling with water. Something saved me. It was like a cocoon-type thing. Took my boat, brought it to the shore. I don't remember, but little bits and pieces of it. And suddenly, they had prepared a little cave-like thing for me to go into because their ship was about to land. And one of the reasons that they had to do what they did is the ship would have come over me, and it would have fried me with its radiation as it came in. Do you understand? The ships give off radiation that would have killed me. So I was brought to shore, brought to safety, and I was then invited. It landed. It had to make repairs. I'm giving you the condensed version, lots of stuff in between. And at the end of it, I was given a classroom session where I was shown what my task in life would be as kind of the gift back to humanity for them saving me. and my job was to write these books, do the music, work in the medium of film and television and music, and I've been spreading my message through my work very, very subtly in my work. I do believe in the
Let me switch tracks here and ask you, well, we have a few minutes, but let me switch tracks and ask you about the Fukushima nuclear meltdown and disaster and the fallout from that, literally the fallout from that, and whether, you know, how serious you think that is at this point. Are we in danger of radioactivity coming over to the United States?
Yes, 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 and yes. How's that?
All right. Not good news,
okay.
But...
Yeah, big time. We're in big trouble. It's already hitting the... It already hit Hawaii. It's already hit the west coast of the United States. The tuna are poisoned already. So the answer is yes. It's already starting. And it's still seeping. It hasn't been stopped yet, Michael. It hasn't been stopped yet. So go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Let me give our number. It's 1-888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. We've got about 5-6 minutes left, Jason. Anything else that you want to add?
I think it's time that we stop worrying about all the little external things, and maybe we should start checking ourselves out. Look at it this way. If you are a typical guy, you're probably married, you probably have a wife and a couple of kids, you got a pet or two. You might even have a bird and a turtle. The point of the matter is, I don't care where you live. I don't care where you live. You're not safe from a tornado or a windstorm or a hurricane or an eruption. Wherever you are, you need to take stock, number one. If you're not in control, your whole family will be in danger. It's up to you. You're going to need food, provisions, not only for humans, but for your pets. You can't let them starve to death if you can't get anything for a month. You got to have the water. You have to have the medical. You have to have Band-Aids. All the little stuff that a father and mother should do. Now, when you got them ready, you got to get the clothing ready. You have to have at least one change of clothing. You have to have one change of clothing for each season. You see? You can't take a whole bunch of clothes. You see? Now, then you got to figure out, where am I going to hunker down? Well, if you're going to hunker down in your home, you might as well put some kind of wooden or metal shutters up, because it's a good protection, not only against the weather, but against intruders. I'm not going sinister. I'm not doing that. But you got to take care of your property. You got to take care of whatever you need to make you feel secure, you see. And if you're prepared and something happens, it's like, don't forget the candles. Don't forget the candles. If you lose electricity, the only way you're going to have any light in the house at night is via candles. Go out. What I've been doing is I've been going to the thrift stores, and I've been buying these big, fat, 8-inch candles that'll burn like 100 hours, you see? I get it for a buck or a buck and a half. Start making preparation, and you got to have lots of water, lots and lots of water.
I wanted to ask you earlier about the Wormwood Comet, which is referred to in the New Testament, which you referred to extensively in your Planet X book. Planet X, Nibiru, the Wormwood Comet, the Nostradamus, reference to a comet. Are those all the same body?
No, they're all different events, different objects, different situations. They're connected, but they're independent of each other.
Okay,
what is Nibiru? Okay, Nibiru is Sitchin's 12th planet. I believe that's what he was trying, what he demonstrated. Now, What did happen to Nibiru? No one really knows. Now, I'll give you a hypothesis, which I put in the book. What if Nibiru got sucked out into space right behind the little baby sun that was struck by the meteorite that killed it and spun it up? Well, how that little baby sun left orbit was that it was struck head-on by two freight trains hitting each other. It spun it 180 degrees out into a clockwise orbit. What I didn't mention was that our entire solar system and all the, our sun and everything that the sun controls and all the other stars in our region and all of the Milky Way galaxy, everything rotates in a counterclockwise swirling motion. Just look at a picture of the Milky Way galaxy and you'll see it's a twisted swirling arms and they're rotating counterclockwise. This object, when it hit the baby sun, was going clockwise, like two freight trains. Killed it instantly. It was probably or is the size of the. It's, let's say the planet X is the size of Saturn, but 60 times its mass. Imagine what kind of an electromagnetic effect and dimension shifting properties that star has, something that size, but 60 times the mass. You see?
Right.
Now.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Radio Doomsday, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Doomsday Live can be heard every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time, 12 midnight Eastern time. Over BBS radio station number 2, that's Thursday nights, station number 2 on BBS radio. If you have any guest suggestions, I'm certainly open to hearing about them. You can send me an email at nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com. This is Mike Luckman, Radio Doomsday Live, signing off until next time, if there is a next time.